It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the, must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters, and what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble, with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
Welcome to a special bonus episode of Above Deck. I'm Sarah Goldman, a photographer and former marine biologist living in Charleston, South Carolina. And with me is my college roommate and co-host, Kelly.
I'm Kelly Busby, an executive assistant and former radio host living in Columbus. Today, we are talking to the Norma Treese, the person Captain Sandy calls when she needs to hire crew on Below Deck Med. She's had a fascinating career, and we can't wait to ask her all of our questions about the yachting industry and Below Deck.
Please enjoy this chat with the very mysterious Norma from Below Deck Med.
Okay.
Hi, Norma.
Hey.
How are you?
I'm great. Can you hear me and everything?
Yeah, we can hear you and see you. Looks good. I'm Sarah.
Hi, Sarah.
And I'm
nice
Kelly.
Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you too. Thanks for doing this today.
Well, thank you. It's my great pleasure.
We should also say you are a real person. There's this rumor that you are not real. You are.
Yeah, there's a big rumor going around and always has been that I'm a production plant and that, you know, I'm just kind of a source of interest on Below Deck, Mediterranean. Uh-huh. But the reality is I am a real person, the real Norma Treese. And I'm an old friend of Captain Sandy Yawn's, and that's why she uses my name on the show, because she asked me for advice, and we talk about all kinds of different things. So that's it. Here I am, the real Norma.
So cool. Love it. So what is your job currently?
I have a lot of different jobs in the yachting industry. Let me give you a little bit of history, if that's okay.
Yeah.
I started out... I fell in love with sailing. My dad was in the U.S. diplomatic service. So I was born in South America and I grew up in Paris. And we moved to the D.C. area when I was 13. And my best friend's dad owned a sailboat and took me out sailing when I was about 14. And I fell madly in love with sailing. And I'd always been involved in entertaining and cooking and stuff because of my dad's career. So when I graduated from college, I went to college in Richmond, Virginia, and in Perugia, Italy, where I furthered my love of cooking. I moved to Fort Lauderdale and started my career on yachts in the yachting world professionally as a yacht chef, mate, and stew. And I did that for about 10 years. I worked on large motor yachts, big sailboats, small sailboats. I chartered in the Caribbean. I chartered in the Mediterranean. I had many, many thousands of sea miles. I've done, I'd have to count them up. I think it's 7 or 8 transatlantics by yacht.
Wow.
And had a wonderful, wonderful career. And then decided when I was going to turn 30 that if I was going to get back into the most important thing in life, which is to have a love life, that I'd better settle down. And I already owned a house in Fort Lauderdale with my sister. Mm-hmm. So I started a crew agency called Crew Network because that was basically the only thing that I knew was the people that worked on yachts and what the jobs involved. And over the course of about 12 years, I built that into 7 offices in 5 different countries.
Wow.
And I sold that to a very large company called Fraser Yachts. It was the first of the service businesses in the yacht industry to sell. And that's how I got started working with crew. And, you know, the story goes on and on in terms of my business career in yachting.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. So incredible. What's your favorite place in the world that you've been on a yacht?
Oh, that's a very good question. Of course, I have a huge sentimental attachment to my French hometown in Antibes. That's kind of like the Fort Lauderdale of the Mediterranean. It's the largest yacht center in the Med. And I had a secondary home there for almost 20 years. I first sailed in there when I did my first transatlantic on a sailboat when I was 17 years old on a 37-foot sailboat. And I fell in love with Antibes then. It's a very ancient town that was settled by the Romans and the Greeks and the Phoenicians. And I always, but in addition, of course, to being a very important yacht port, and I just loved it. I still love it today. I loved it all the years I lived there. And of course, just like any other big yacht town, I have many, many friends there. That's one of the great things about the yacht industry is, you know, the worldwide brother and sisterhood that we have, whether you work on a yacht or whether you're in the business of yachting as I am.
Wow, that's so incredible. So we got to add that to our list, Kelly, of places to visit.
Got it.
Definitely.
Has there been a season of Below Deck Med that was based out of Antibes, however you say it?
Antibes. Yeah, that's Antibes. Well, actually, you know, I'm only a consultant on a friendly basis with Below Deck. But one summer I did some location sourcing for them. Mm-hmm. And we tried to bring Below Deck Med to Antibes, but instead we took it to a port right around the corner, which was called Juan-les-Pins, and Gulf of Juan next to that. And that was the marina that they worked out of. And that was back when they were on the red boat, Scirocco. And that's also a much smaller town and a smaller port. And, you know, but close enough to Antibes. And you saw a lot of pictures of Antibes. For instance, when Aisha had a date with Jack, they did that in a small romantic restaurant in Antibes.
Oh, that's so cool. I love that. So my next question, you kind of already answered it, but how did you end up being associated with Below Deck Med? I know you had a friendship with Sandy going back way back, but how did it come to be that you were on Below Deck Med, at least on the phone?
Well, that's also kind of a long story. Sandy always tells me that I made her famous. And the reality is I met her about 25 years ago when I was working as a yacht journalist for a magazine called DockWalk that I helped found and helped sell, one of my many business ventures in the yachting industry. And I met her at the Monaco Yacht Show. She was on board White Star, the first large yacht that she commanded. She had been working for a Saudi Arabian prince when the boat that she had worked for the American owner who built the boat and then was owned by the Saudis. And on the way back, and this is a true story, you know, she alludes to it now and again, but I'd heard this story that there's a female captain who had was dead ship in the Red Sea. They had had an engine room fire and they were stuck dead on an island hidden during Ramadan. And it took about a week for a U.S. warship to rescue them. So I wrote a story about Sandy. Telling that story, and you know, it of course sparked a lot of interest. Quite dramatic. Shortly thereafter I wrote another article on board one of her yachts where I gathered together at that point all the female captains that I could. This was in Fort Lauderdale after the boat sold, and we got together at that point about 20 female captains, and I was on board also. I had a captain's license when I worked on yachts, although I didn't actually work as a captain. I was a chef and a mate. And so that was the first article I think that I ever saw about female captains. And of course, nowadays, due to the example of people like Captain Sandy, we have more and more female captains on board, which is a fantastic thing. Absolutely. And so long story short, Sandy was recruited to take over from Captain Mark on the second mm-hmm. season of Below Deck Med. And as I said, we've been great friends ever since that Monaco Yacht Show when we met. Mm-hmm. And she calls me and we talk about all kinds of things, not just about crew, but about life and the difficulties of being a captain, about the difficulties mm-hmm. of being a public figure, about mm-hmm. the difficulties of working in the business of yachting. And we also mm-hmm. talk a lot about something that she and I are both particularly interested in, and that is the great amount of philanthropy and education that we mm-hmm. see in the yacht business.
Okay. Wow. So why is it on the other Below Deck franchises, we don't see like somebody's specific name like yours? It just says like the crew porter person, you know?
It says yacht staffing and all kinds of interesting things. You know, you'd have to ask Nadine about that. I mean, that's their decision. You know, what's really interesting to me is I know every single captain that has been on every franchise of Below Deck, including Captain Mark that Sandy took over from, who unfortunately passed away a couple of years ago. But I had the chance to go sailing with Glenn on Parsifal in the St. Bart's Bucket many years ago, which was mm-hmm. a great experience. I knew Jason when he was running vessels in the Mediterranean and actually was invited on board one time during the Cannes Film Festival.
Neat.
And of course, Captain Lee, he lives around the corner from me, about literally two blocks away from where I'm sitting right now. But the one I'm the closest with is Sandy. And Captain Carey, I've gotten to know also.
Yeah.
I was just at a party with him at the Palm Beach Boat Show 2 weeks ago. And he's a wonderful guy. And I must say, I'm really enjoying what he's doing as he's taken over from Captain Lee. He's doing a fantastic job. And I hope he has a good long run the same way that Sandy and Glenn have been able to.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, we love Captain Carey.
So would you say that you work for Bravo, or is working with Bravo kind of a perk of your day-to-day job?
Oh, it's definitely a perk of my day-to-day job. It's the reality is that I feel I'm in a very fortunate position to work in the yachting industry as it is. I work as a consultant. I still do crew placement on a mm-hmm. consultancy basis. I also do business development. I'm working for a large tech company right now. Mm-hmm. I've had a long career. I helped to build one of the largest super yacht marinas in Barcelona. I spent 6 years doing that. Mm-hmm. I helped develop one of the biggest insurance companies that started the very first crew insurance program based out of Monaco. That's called Only Yacht. I worked for the largest yacht agents in the world, BWA, mm-hmm. helping them figure out new ways in order to do business. And throughout all of that, all of my business career in the yachting industry, which is one of the great things about the industry, that it offers so many opportunities to all of us. Yeah. I've always made sure that every business that I'm associated with in one way or another benefits or positively impacts professional yacht crew.
Yeah, you've really been such a big advocate for the industry and for crew. I listened to your interview on the Gangplank Report, the late RIP Gangplank Report. That was a great podcast. We'll put in the show notes a link to that episode because that was so interesting. And yeah, I love that philanthropy has been a big part of it. And just what a fascinating career you've had.
Well, thank you. You know, again, it's a tribute to the yachting industry as much as it's a tribute to me, because the yachting industry, due to the very nature of it, the fact that we are at the pointy end of the development of technology, of art, of shipbuilding, we're dealing with the most sophisticated, wealthiest people in the world that have very high expectations. So the yachting industry, in order to keep up with the expectations of the principals, UBOs, we also call them, ultimate beneficial owners, we have to stay with them. So the yachting industry is continually growing and offers new opportunities. So it's great to work on a yacht. And there's about 60,000 professional yacht crew around the world right now. But the business of yachting has grown much faster and much greater in terms of numbers than the people that work on board. So, you know, there's over probably 500,000 people around the world that work in the business of yachting, whether it's working for yacht builders, developers, business people. As I said, I've been involved in marinas, insurance, and, you know, currently I spend most of my time as a representative for the International Seakeepers Society. I'm on the board of directors and I'm on a trustee. And what we do is we do ocean conservation, education, and sustainability. So I speak for them around the world, and we have a discovery fleet of over 200 vessels that travel around the world doing our missions. That's something that's super important to me, and something else that's a big part of the yachting world.
Yeah, that's so cool.
And you know, Captain Sandy has a fantastic series of charities. I'm sure you're familiar with those. Have you heard about her fantastic education endeavors?
Yes, but tell us about them, because people listening may not have heard about them.
Well, you know, one of the things I love about Sandy, you know, you see her on TV as, you know, a very professional, a very pointed leader and captain. And she does a great job of exhibiting the leadership that's really necessary in yachting. But let's face it, Below Deck is as much about television as it is about reality. So Sandy has taken the extremely powerful platform that she has, and she has turned it into an opportunity to do good all over the world. And her education foundation with Captain Sandy Charities is absolutely amazing. She started it a couple of years ago, and she's received a big grant from the state of Florida. They are finalizing an accredited program to bring maritime education to junior high school and high school children in the state of Florida, and hopefully to throughout the United States, and maybe, who knows, eventually internationally. Because one thing that's really important for you and anybody listening to this needs to know is there is a huge demand for serious, professional, full-time yacht crew. And I'm not talking about people that work on Below Deck. I'm talking about the people that, you know, the captains, the engineers, the mates, the cooks, the stews, the deckhands that work and live on board yachts full time. And that is a fantastic career opportunity that can also lead you, just like me, into a long-term career in the business of yachting.
Yeah, look how many different things you did from where you started. I had no idea about this. I think, like most people, that's something that Below Deck has helped do, is like bring this world, you know, into our living rooms. I mean, I would have loved, I probably wouldn't have gone to grad school. I would have done this. Like, I would have just loved to work in this industry. It's so
well, you know, there's always a future, right?
I don't know if they need any 40-year-old deckhands or stews, but
that's you know, entry level tend to start a little bit younger than that. But definitely there are plenty of people in their 40s, 50s, even 60s. They tend to be a little bit more senior. You know, they've climbed up the chain of command a little bit higher than that. But again, you know, I think it's really important to say, you know, I love Below Deck as much as anybody does. Believe me, I've seen every single episode of every single franchise. And even my husband, who's not a yachty, watches it with me every single week.
Love it.
What happens on Below Deck is such a concentrated atmosphere. That, even the what Sandy says, and I think it's true, is that every single thing that you see happen on Below Deck, she has seen happen on a real yacht. But what happens in terms of, you know, the very short-term charters, the caliber of the people that come on board, you know, it's not just the crew that's maybe not your typical professional yacht crew.
Right.
But yeah. Also the guests are a little bit different. And definitely the charters are different. It's very unusual to have 3-day charters. You know, most of the time they're a week or longer. They're called term charters. And they happen all over the world, just like happens on Below Deck. Mm-hmm. But, you know, let's be perfectly honest about this. When you work on a yacht, most yachts are dry ships. You're not allowed to drink. You're absolutely never allowed to drink with guests or when you have guests aboard. You're not invited to go out to dinner courtesy of the vessel and drink yourself silly. You're definitely not allowed to use the hot tub. So those are things that they do in order to make it more dramatic and interesting. And let's face it, the people that are working on Below Deck, they are working just as hard as regular yacht crew. That is totally, completely realistic. But the rest of it is a little overly dramatized. And that's what gives sometimes Below Deck a bad reputation within the industry, because as much as it has given awareness of the yachting industry to the greater world, it has also given kind of a skewed image of what the jobs are like. You know, it's fantastic if you're getting these huge tips at the end of 3 or 4 days. That's not usually the way it works. You have to work a lot harder. And, you know, you don't, you know, the pressure that they're put under. I mean, one of the things that I always see as a former yacht chef myself, that I always see as being totally, completely unrelated to reality, is that it never happens unless you have like an emergency or a very last minute charter. You do not get your provisions the day the charter starts.
Yeah, that sounds crazy.
It absolutely is crazy. I ended my career working as a freelance yacht chef. So I would be hired to come on board for, you know, a week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks. And I always had several days in advance, for one thing, to clean and organize the galley and the storage areas.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
And so, you know, when you see that, I feel so sorry for the crew. You know, they come on board and literally the next day, you know, and it's not just the chef, it's also the deck department has to reorganize everything. Yeah. It's also the stewards have to organize everything and get it ready. And, you know, so that part of it is a little bit unrealistic. But in terms of jobs, it's not just fun and games. And honestly, there's Below Deck, for as wonderful as it is and as entertaining as it is, without a doubt, I just want anybody who's interested in working on board yachts to understand that you have a whole lot more of the hard work aspect of it and a whole lot less of the hot tub and drinking aspect of it.
Right. We have a few listener questions.
Okay.
At Tie-Dye Dave asks, what criteria on a deckhand or stew's CV makes them stand out to be cast on Below Deck? And how do green yachties somehow slip by?
Well, that's definitely two questions. And let me say that the hiring that's done on Below Deck is very different than it is on board real yachts.
Right.
If it's going to be deck crew that are qualified, and of course they have to have those, they need to have a minimum of the basic educational and safety regulations. That's called STCW. That's about a week-long course that you can take in most major port towns like Fort Lauderdale or Antibes or Palma de Mallorca. You can get them in South Africa. You can get them in the UK. So you have to have STCW. Mm-hmm. If you're going to work on the interior, you have to have the cleanliness and sanitation. That's called ENG1. So anybody, whether you're going to be on Below Deck or whether you're going to work on a proper yacht, you have to have those qualifications. And then it goes on from there. You know, everything from hospitality background. Of course, if you're going to be a chef or an engineer, you need to have qualifications for that specifically. Anything, you know, like languages or any other skills, you know, certainly let's talk about the stewards department, whether that's a bartending or a table setting or napkin folding or flower arranging, you know, all kinds of things. And as far as green crew goes on Below Deck, I don't really deal with that very much. Those are put on there in order to add drama. And, you know, hopefully they have the potential and the taste that they've gotten of yachting makes them eager to work on yachts full time. And I do know that some of the crew people that have worked in on Below Deck have gone on to have really good full-time yachting careers, and a lot of them have not.
Right. Yeah, Malia comes to mind. I mean, she started with Below Deck, and look at her now. She's like a first or second officer.
She is. I believe that she's a captain now. I know Malia as well. She's absolutely lovely. She was very fortunate that she was able to be taken in the fold of Captain Sandy, who helped
absolutely
her, not just in terms of her skills, but also in terms of being the right kind of person, you know, to be serious. And, you know, Malia had qualifications before she came on board as a deckhand, and she has done remarkably well. I think she's an asset to the industry. I think she's a testament to Sandy. And Sandy helping educate people and bring them along in the industry. Mm-hmm. And I wish that we had more people like her in general in the yachting industry. And I wish that we had, I wish that Below Deck would be able to bring more people into the industry, because the need for yacht crew is dire.
Wow. That's really good to know, because I feel like there are a lot of people interested, but they just don't know how to get started. So I think this is really good information for them.
Well, if they, if they're serious, they need to get their STCW and their ENG1. Let me tell you what the best career in yachting is. And that's as an engineer. If you have mechanical capability, and that includes not just engines, but everything else, the ACs, the systems, the lighting, the electronics. If you have the interest to work in the yachting industry and work on board a yacht as an engineer, they are the most critically necessary. And, you know, let's face it, there's two hearts of a yacht, the engine room and the galley. And both of those share something similar, which is that those are generally single positions. So you can't run a vessel without an engineer. And you damn sure can't run a charter boat.
Right, exactly.
But and, you know, all the other careers, you know, Malia is a great example. Many other, look at Culver, he's working on a yacht right now.
Yeah.
And it goes on and on and on. A lot of the crew that you see on the show actually have, you know, serious careers of their own. The problem is, if you're going to work full time on a yacht, that's a year to year job. You're not able to take the 2 or 3 months off that you need in order to work on Below Deck. So a lot of the crew that we see regularly on Below Deck, you know, the ones that, you know, we know and love, you know, like Fraser, or what is it they're calling him now? Not Fairport. They have another name for him.
Fletcher.
Fletcher. And he's fantastic, and he's had a great career, and we've seen him move up the chain of command, and I think that's great. But that's another big difference of Below Deck and full-time jobs, and that's that you have to commit to a vessel. And if you want to have a serious long-term career in the in working on board yachts or in the business of yachting, stability and longevity is one of the most important aspects that you need to have on your CV.
Yes. Okay, so this is a fun question. I think you saw this on our Instagram at Shelby EVS 97 writes, does Norma know about her Watch What Crappens feud with Captain Sandy?
Yes, I did see that. And I have to admit, I did not research that. I didn't even ask Sandy. You know, I'm not interested in knowing much about feuds. I've been able to navigate my long career in yachting by being friendly with everybody.
Yeah.
So, you know, when it comes down to, you know, bad feelings and feuds, which I cannot even imagine. I mean, you know, let's face it, Watch What Crappens is hilarious in and of itself. Yeah. And I don't know the guys on there. You know, I watch it now and again. You know, they nominated me for, you know, best supporting character, which I thought was absolutely hilarious as well.
Yeah.
Apparently, I didn't win, which is okay. But I don't know anything about that feud, and I don't know if Sandy does either.
Yeah, well, I did research it because I also didn't know about it, and it's completely fabricated, as you know. And I'm going to play you just a couple minutes of a recording of them being you and Captain Sandy.
Okay.
Okay, let's see.
So she texts Norma. She's like, God damn it, Norma. Could you get me an actual bosun this time instead of using your casting couch off Craigslist? I mean, good Lord, I hope the lay was worth it. Cheese and crackers, woman. You're literally going to be the death of me. Hey, Sandy. Hey, Sandy, it's Norma. Listen, I'm sorry that didn't work out. I just like to save my good bosuns for the competent captains. Okay. But anyway, there's someone here who just off work from Starbucks. Do you want me to send them over?
Okay.
that's hilarious. It is. And you know, funny. I mean, I guess that there are actually captains and maybe even agents that use the casting couch, but I can guarantee you that's definitely not my MO. I've been very happily married for 28 years.
We figured not. Yeah, we'll go ahead and dispel that rumor, but
oh yeah, absolutely.
it is a complete absolute rumor. As I said, I've been married for 28 years to an absolutely wonderful guy. You know, we've been able to travel the world together. And I call him my antidote to yachting because he's in the music business. You know, one thing about yachting is it's all consuming. You know, when you work in the business of yachting, it's hard to talk about anything else. And so, you know, if you go to a dinner party or a boat show, for people that are not in it, it can be absolutely boring and repetitive because all we can talk about is, you know, a boat that, you know, has a mechanical problem, you know, a charter situation that changed, somebody's looking for a job, somebody just got a job, you know, what boat show is better than another one. And, you know,
we would be fascinated. We'd love to be at one of those dinner parties. I'd listen to all of that chatter, even if I didn't know what you were talking about.
Absolutely.
Well, listen, what you need to do is come along to a yacht show sometime and walk the docks with Norma one day.
We would
literally
love that.
People hire me to walk them around yacht shows in order to introduce them to the people that are truly important in the business of yachting.
Oh my gosh.
Besides a Seakeepers Society, which is, you know, my heartthrob of the science of ocean conservation and the importance that yachting brings to that. I'm also a board member emeritus of the International Super Yacht Society, and that represents the business of yachting. And I've been a part of that for over 20 years. And that has given me the opportunity to meet and know the most important people in the business of yachting, the CEOs, the CFOs, the COOs, and the people that really make this industry work. You know, the builders, as I said before, the suppliers, the service people. And so if you need something done, or if you're trying to figure out what your best resource is, a lot of people, just like Sandy, call Norma.
Yeah, gotta call Norma. I think I'm gonna keep your cell phone number in my phone just so I can be like, I have Norma's number.
A lot of people have that number. You know what Captain Sandy's nickname for me is?
No.
AskNorma.com.
AskNorma.com. www.asknorma.com. Well, we definitely want to come to a boat show. We kind of were thinking Fort Lauderdale at some point, maybe. It's usually in like November, right?
Fort Lauderdale boat show this year. I don't have the exact dates. I think it starts on October 31st, which is always the very tail end of October into the first 3 or 4 days of November. And Fort Lauderdale is great. It's the largest yacht show in the world. Wow. However, it's kind of a generalist show. So it doesn't necessarily concentrate on larger yachts or crewed yachts, which is always my priority. They also have small boats, fishing boats, runabouts, sunglasses, fishing gear. So, you know, it's really big in terms of, you know, the variety of the entire maritime scene.
Yeah.
If you want to concentrate on professionally crewed yachts, then you'd need to go to The Cannes Boat Show, the Monaco Yacht Show. Of course, Cannes is in France. And
well, if we have to.
Monaco.
We have to.
Or the Palm Beach Boat Show, which we just finished 2 weeks ago.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Well, we'll
but I love the Fort Lauderdale schedule. Boat Show. Don't get me wrong. That's where you get to go to all the big fancy parties.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, we'll definitely let you know. Hopefully it won't conflict with BravoCon this year, but that's definitely on our list. Well, Norma,
well,
this is
never been invited to BravoCon, so it sounds absolutely great. And I think it's about time they invited the real Norma to attend.
Right.
BravoCon,
you could be you? At Captain
you can come
Sandy's
with us.
Booth. Like
yeah.
That would be such a highlight for people. They'd be like, oh my gosh, Norma is real. That would be so cool.
I think
cool.
The secret is out. You know, we're not trying to hide anything. I love the show. I love the show. I support the show. I support Captain Sandy and all the rest of the captains. Nadine does an absolutely fantastic job as a production. Oh my gosh, she's such a hardworking woman. So, you know, I'm there to portray the positive side of Below Deck and the yachting industry. So I'd be very happy to spread that word anytime.
Absolutely. Awesome. Fantastic. Well, Norma, thank you so much for taking the time to share about your career. It's so interesting. And this has just been really, really fun for us.
Oh, thank you. It's my pleasure. I think you guys are great. I absolutely loved it when I watched you packing your clothes to go to BravoCon this year. I thought that was totally hilarious. And I congratulate you on doing such a great job on your podcast. I hope you enjoy it as much as you seem to.
We really
thank
do.
Thank you so much. We do.
Yeah, thank you. All right.
Okay.
We'll have to do another
that's great.
Packing.
Well,
video.
Listen, you know, I do have to go because I have to go fix lunch for my husband, you know, because one of the great things about working as a yacht chef was that it was something that absolutely fulfilled me, you know, to the core of my being, because I'm kind of a clean freak. I absolutely love to cook. I grew up in a diplomatic family, and sailing is something that I absolutely adore. So working on yachts was, you know, a perfect fit for me. And little
Norma,
bit I knew,
you're such a catch. I want to be married to Norma. I'm jealous of your husband.
Sorry, Detlef did that already.
Darn it. So,
great.
All right,
well listen.
Enjoy the rest
much.
Of your day. Oh, and send us any links that you want us to put in our resources in the show description, some of the organizations you mentioned.
Yes, that'd be great.
Love to
thank you.
Promote those for you.
Great. Well, you know, again, you know, what's really important to understand is it's not just all fun and games. The yachting industry has a great deal of capability to influence the world positively. Yeah. Whether it's education, like Sandy is doing, whether it's ocean conservation and research, like the Sea Keepers Society does, or whether it's the many organizations of yachting. One of the great ones that you ladies should join is the Association of Women in Yachting, and come to one of their meetings at a boat show soon.
Oh, that would be cool. Down. All right. We'll write that down for sure. Cool. Well, thank
excellent.
You, Norma.
Thank
enjoy
you.
Enjoy lunch.
You take care now. Bye.
All right. Bye.
That's it for this bonus episode of Above Deck. Please subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or Google Podcasts, and please tell a friend. And rate and review us, 5 stars only.
Please follow us on Instagram at Above Deck Pod. You can email or leave us a voice memo at abovedeckpod@gmail.com. Until next week, I'm Kelly Busby.
And I'm Sarah Goldman. Thanks for joining us.
A Huda Media Production.